Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. Woo-hoo! Yes, thank you to our live studio audience. And we're ready for an exciting podcast. Lighting up the world. Yes, it's going to be on fire, basically, this podcast. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable. Very pumped about it. And I am excited to share incredible words of Torah and a story or two. Before I really begin, I want to give a little quick introduction and give a huge shout out to two different people. Well, one person and a family, let's put it this way. So Jamie Furman, long time, originally Project 613 participant, and now Olami 613 participant for 8 years. Incredible. We met him 8 years ago, and he is now moving on to North Carolina. And we are just really feel tremendously blessed to have had him in our community. As I told him, this is not a goodbye to Lehitrot, and we're definitely staying in touch. And he wrote probably one of the most beautiful thank you notes. If I started reading it, I might start crying. So I don't want to do that, but I'm thinking that this could be a mass email out just to tell people what we're doing here at Olami 613, the impact, the community, everything that we are doing, that your support is doing. Let's be honest here. We're not rolling without your support, and it's really quite special. So we want to wish Jamie all the best and his amazing girlfriend, Samantha, and God bless you both. We really look forward to seeing you soon. And Jamie was here for Shabbos, and he, one cute thing, it was just very powerful, is that literally, his first Shabbos in Chicago 8 years ago when he graduated WashU, he came to our home. And the last Shabbos, he said, Rabbi, I want my last Shabbos here to be in your home as well. So Jamie, God bless. It's a beautiful Shabbos together. We really look forward to many more in the future. Another amazing guest we had was part of the Gordon family, Eric, who is a Mensch of the Month fame. And we've been trying to, for a long time, get his wonderful parents, Jeff and Stephanie. And boy, oh boy, we had such a special Friday night. And shout out to Jeff, who's a dedicated, devoted Monday Motivation listener. And in fact, he had one question. He said, Rabbi, where do you record it, your Monday Motivation? I said, right here at the end of the dining room table. This is exactly it. So he felt that he was inside the studio, which he absolutely was. We had a fantastic Shabbos dinner with them, and really look forward to having them and other parents as well. So you young professionals out there, let's go. You come. We're home hosting all summer for Shabbos. Different groups, small groups, large groups, and we cannot wait to have you. Bring your folks. Let's make this a multi-generational endeavor. So shout out both to Jamie Furman and the wonderful, amazing Gordon family. All right. We are this week, when you're listening to this on Monday, Monday night is an incredible holiday called Lag BaOmer. Now, the custom on Lag BaOmer is to have bonfires. Now, you might think that the log in Lag BaOmer is L-O-G because of the bonfire. And in fact, when I first heard the holiday, I said, I think that's what it's about, but it's actually not. It's Lag BaOmer, as we've explained many times here at Monday Motivation, that there's something called gematria, that every Hebrew letter has a numerical equivalent. So Aleph would be 1, Beit would be 2. So Lag is, Lamed is 30, Gimel is 3, so 33, the 33rd day of the Omer. And we count 49 days until the 50th day we get to Shavuos, Shavuot, the giving of the Torah. So 33rd day of the Omer is celebrated in Israel and around the world with massive bonfires. Yeah. And we say, what are the great miracles of Israel showing that God is watching over the Holy Land is the fact that the whole place doesn't burn up. You have little kids literally from after Pesach is over dragging branches and cardboard and everything, making massive, bonfire potential, right? And pyres, right, of wood and etc. And they're lit on Lag BaOmer. Pretty much any open space in Jerusalem is going to be a bonfire. And truly miraculous, Baruch Hashem, that people are not hurt. So what's going on? Why the bonfire? The bonfire is to commemorate and to celebrate the life of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the great Tanoim, which means one of the sages of the Mishnaic period. The Mishnah was codified in the year 200 of the Common Era, and he was one of the main rabbis of the Mishnah. Now, what he's famous for is having revealed the Zohar and Kabbalistic wisdom, which remained hidden until the Middle Ages, about 1,000 years later. But he is the one who is considered as having brought light to the world. He lit up the world with his Torah, with his profound wisdom. And therefore, this motivation is called lighting up the world with his Torah. Now, in order to understand Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we need to talk about his teacher, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was absolutely incredible. He was probably one of the greatest sages of all time. In fact, the Talmud talks about how if the Torah wasn't given through Moshe, that it could have potentially been given through Rabbi Akiva, which is unbelievable. Okay? Now, we're going to come back to Rabbi Akiva, because in order to understand Rabbi Akiva, we need to understand something in our past last week's Torah portion. Okay? So here's what we're going to do, folks. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to say an idea in this last week's Torah portion. And then we're going to connect it to Rabbi Akiva. And then we're going to connect it to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And then our minds are going to be blown about how unbelievably awesome Lag BaOmer is. Okay? Here we go. On your marks, get set, go. In this last week's Torah portion, we have, which was Parshas Emor, we're in a little sort of the middle end of Leviticus, the third book of the Torah. And what happens? There are two unbelievable mitzvahs that are commanded to the Jewish people in this Torah portion. And one of them is called Kiddush Hashem, which is sanctifying God's name. And one is Chilul Hashem, which is desecration of God's name. All right, now let me just paraphrase and summarize what that means. It means that God is commanding us to be the PR agents of the CEO of the universe. The Almighty says, I am going to tie my name, my reputation to you guys. That is one of the great responsibilities and one of the great privileges of what it means to be Jewish and part of the Jewish people. So when the world out there, when Jewish people actually complain, oh, we're held to a higher standard. Yes, fine. No problem. We're great. We want to be held to a higher standard. That's who we are. That's how we roll. Now, we don't want people to lie about us, which they do. But the basic concept of being held to a higher standard, we have no problem with that. And we've been living on a higher standard for the last 3,338 years since Mount Sinai. And these mitzvahs are considered so important that there are certain rabbinic commentators that say that even though we don't value one mitzvah over the other, that these two are particularly important because they express our fundamental mission and job and purpose and walking orders as a Jewish people. Now, I want to do something about this idea that it's always bothered me, and I actually found an answer for it this week. So stay with me here, folks. So where are the mitzvah of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, the sanctifying, making God's name special, or God forbid, the emptying out of God's name in this world, making God's name alive or dead in this world. Where, in what context is it talking about? It's talking about in the middle of animal sacrifices. Now, of all the places that you would think that this would come up, and this is probably the last place. And I found an amazing answer by Rabbi Hirsch, why it is in that section of Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who we've quoted many times, who was the 19th century lion in Germany, rabbinic force, answering the reform movement, saying we don't need to reform Judaism. We need to reform Jews. We need to become the best Jews that we could be. There's nothing wrong with Judaism. And he defended Judaism incredibly. And so the idea goes like this. There is a halakha that one is not allowed to use an animal for really until the eighth day after it's born to be brought in the temple. Well, at the time when we had the temple. And the question is why? So Rav Hirsch says is that we human beings, we Jews need to recognize that animals are fundamentally creatures that are only self-absorbed. They are focused on themselves, right? Might makes right, survival of the fit, and that's it. However, there is one human-like spark that animals have, and that human-like spark is clearly seen and expressed in the love of a mother for its young. Now, sometimes that period of love and care lasts a day, and then they abandon the child. Sometimes it's 6 weeks and sometimes it's for all life. But that bit of the animal concern for their child is something fundamental that we cannot take that baby animal and bring it on the altar as a sacrifice, because we have to recognize that our mission in life is not to be animalistic and selfish and do whatever we want whenever we want to do it, but we need to transcend our desire for self-preservation to live for someone else and for a higher ideal. That's what this idea represents. And therefore, when you take that idea to the ultimate end, you have what's called a Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, meaning I'm not living for myself. I'm living in order to make God's name great in this world. I'm living and do things that are inconvenient and sometimes a pain and sometimes challenging in order that God's name will be great. And the greatest Kiddush Hashem, the greatest sanctification of God's name is what? Is giving one's life for God and for Torah. You know, the halakha, the Jewish law says that we really, you know, if a non-Jew would say, you know, eat this piece of pork or I will kill you. So you munch away on the pork. If the non-Jew says, break Shabbos or I will kill you. You break Shabbos. All of that with the exception of three. There are three mitzvahs, three sins, I would say, that we don't do that we would actually take the bullet for. And they are murdering someone else. They are sexual impropriety and idol worship. Those are the big three that many, many, many times the Jewish people have taken that bullet, if it's in the form of a bullet or something else, in order to say, I am giving my life to Hashem and to His name, that the purpose of my life, if I would violate any one of these three things, I would violate the terms of my life. That by me refraining from these things and giving up my life, I am saying that I represent Hashem and His values. And there are certain things that are so important that it is worth giving up my human life to take a stand, to light up the world. And that is what we call Kiddush Hashem. And now we can understand Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, He, in fact, gave up his life on Kiddush Hashem. He was tortured by the Romans. But why? What happened? Because it wasn't only that Rabbi Akiva died sanctifying, making God's name special. He lived that way. Rabbi Akiva was in the time of really the temple and post-temple where Hadrian, in many ways, the decrees after the destruction of the temple were worse than at the time of the destruction of the temple. And Hadrian forbade any type of Torah learning. And Rabbi Akiva risked his life and ultimately gave his life to teach Torah. And his people were asking him, Rabbi Akiva, why are you doing this? And he gave them an analogy. He said, imagine that there is a, you know, fish and there are many fishermen around and the fox comes to the fish. And he says to the fish, hey, why don't you come up on dry land and you'll be safe from the fishermen? And the fish said, no, I'm not so foolish. I know that if I leave the water, the fishermen won't get me, but you will. And that is what the analogy he gave. And what is the meaning of it? Rabbi Akiva meant that a Jew must always be swimming in the waters of Torah. We must always be immersed in this Torah study, because the moment we don't, we're going to be on dry land and we're going to dry out and be eaten by the foxes of the world. So I would rather swim and be potentially caught by the Romans and the fishermen than to go out of the river and certainly die. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva, as we said, did in fact give his life for his values, for supporting Torah and for teaching Torah. And now we come to probably his most famous student, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was someone equally devoted to living a life of sanctifying God's name. He was a dedicated Torah learner and Torah teacher. And when the Roman decrees came, he was not one to flatter the Romans. And the Romans heard that he was critical of them and they wanted to kill him. So he fled to a cave. He and his son were in the cave for 12 years. And then they came out and they weren't quite ready. They weren't fully baked yet. And they came back for another year. And after 13 years in the cave, they came out perfect people. The type of people who were so plugged into Hashem's Torah and his wisdom that they could reveal it to the world. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai authored the Zohar, the great work of Jewish mystical wisdom, because he was in tune with Hashem's will. He lived a life of self-sacrifice, going beyond what was comfortable for him. They said, the Gemara, the Talmud explains that what were they doing in the cave? They said that they were worried their clothes were going to run out. So they literally would bury themselves in sand. Okay. And then they would come out and only use their clothes for prayer. And they ate miraculously. A carob tree grew there and there was a little stream that came through the cave. They lived on carob seeds. And I've tasted carob seeds before. That doesn't taste so good. And water. And that's what they lived on for all of those years. Because it wasn't only about dying for Hashem. It was about living for Hashem. And that is truly the message for us on this Lag BaOmer and forward, is that we cannot just live a life all about ourselves. We need to live a life for others and for ideals and for principles that the Almighty wants us to live for. And that is our job as Jews, to live for a higher purpose. And our job then is to know what those principles are. And that's why this is the most beautiful time on Lag BaOmer to dedicate oneself to Torah learning, to find a study buddy, to find a chavrusa, to come to our programming if you're a young professional in downtown Chicago or in the Chicagoland area. And if you're not and you hear this and you want to be connected, we will find, God willing, someone appropriate for you. That's what Lag BaOmer is all about. When we light up the world, we live a life beyond our own ego, beyond our own needs. We live a life for Hashem. That is what the Torah portion taught us. And that is the life that Rabbi Akiva lived. And it's no surprise that his main student, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, also lived that type of life of being selfless and of living for higher principles. And that's why he was able to light up the world with his Torah. And that's what we're celebrating on Lag BaOmer. And that should be our motivation, our fire, our passion to become knowledgeable and awesome Jews and great representatives and great PR agents of the CEO of the universe. God bless. Have an amazing week. Have an amazing Lag BaOmer. Find a bonfire on Monday night or Tuesday. God willing, we look forward to seeing you right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.